The Ars Electronica 2009 Festival is running from September 3rd to September 8th, so next Tuesday. It's a festival for art, technology, and society. And this year's, it's been going on for 30 years now, and this year's theme is human nature. Now, it just so happens that Cyrus Farivar is there doing a number of different things, not necessarily for the world, but I thought since he was there, maybe he should walk around and see what's on offer there. It's always a really interesting festival. I've always wanted to go myself and just have never had the time or the money to do it. So what I asked Cyrus to do was track down a local science and tech reporter who could tell us a little bit more about it. And he met Sonja Bettel, who is a sci-tech reporter for Austrian radio. And she's been covering Ars Electronica since 1997. So I asked Cyrus to ask her a little bit about the festival itself, about Linz, and then to go on a little bit of a tour. Now, I should give you fair warning on this little section coming up with Sonja. She and Cyrus do a little walkthrough and come across an item that is being displayed there. And if you are squeamish or prudish, or if you have small children that you would rather not have to explain what a vibrator is, then you may want to skip over this next section. But anyway, Sonja begins her conversation by telling us a little bit more about Linz.
The city of Linz was a city about steel industry. And at that time, people saw, okay, steel production is going down a little bit. So we need to find something new, because it was always called Stahlstadt, so the steel city, you know. And people were workers, and they were all in the steel industry. And they wanted to have something in contrary to that. So they said, the new steel, so to say, is computers. So this is where we have to set a new point to go into new directions. And it started with music, and then it went into a festival for art, science, and technology.
Now, so this year we're standing next to the poster of this year's festival, which is this kind of funny-looking green face with the eyes kind of in almost kind of an evil kind of look. The face is made up of these little green, they almost look like grapes, these little green spheres. And it's under the theme of human nature. Do you think this is representative of these other ones? I mean, we're standing next to a long line of these other posters from the other years. Does this feel like other festivals that you've been to?
It's, of course, changing from year to year. And what I feel is that we have seen so many new things in technology that you're sort of a little bit fed up maybe and think, oh, there's nothing new coming on. But of course, then when you discuss with people, make interviews, you see, oh, yes, it's interesting. People are discussing how humans are changing nature.
So what have you seen so far? Let's take a walk down here. Can you describe kind of where we are, what this room is normally and what it is now?
This is a concert hall. It's called the Bruckner House. And normally, it's from the early 80s or late 70s, and it looks like this, orange and brown and everything, very, you know, heavy culture. And now it looks quite funny because there are walls everywhere. You see screens on the wall. You see posters, people standing around. There, over there is something we don't really know what it is. It's something, there are all copper cables coming out, and it has lights and... So you always have to find out, what are these things doing? Then over there we see, of course, the computer. We see screens. And it looks like old, prints, digital art, something like that. So this is the history launch, it's called. So there are all sorts of old things. Like over there, what we could see if we would walk a little bit further is a very old synthesizer. And I think they are going to play a little bit on it.
This is the one I was telling you about. This is this green vibrator that I was looking at. So I'm just reading here from the panel. It says, the Earth Angel is a brand new, innovatively designed adult toy that was designed and developed in Ireland. It is the first ever adult toy to contain green technology. Unlike traditional toys, it will never require replacement batteries, as it houses its own patented power core. Intense vibrations from the word go. This wasn't translated very well. A specially adapted key is fitted within the base and is extracted and turned to initiate the power core. A few quick turns and hey presto, you have a fully charged, incredibly intense vibrator. But this is such a wacky idea. Can we try it? Do you want to try it?
I think there's a crank
in the bottom.
Like the camping lamps.
Okay, you have to have a sort of a knob, a handle here.
There is a handle here.
Yeah, it's a handle, but
I think so, doesn't it?
No, it is. It is this. So this way? Yeah. Okay, so we have to turn it around like a camping lamp. Camping torch? Oh my god. Ah, oh, this goes strong. Very difficult. I think you are not interested in using it anymore after you did this because you're so exhausted.
I think it's enough.
Is it enough? Okay, then you have to turn it on.
In the middle.
In the middle. And now it's vibrating. Okay, you can turn.
Oh, there's other speeds.
Other speed, or yeah. So I think it's, yeah, it's a great funny idea because you don't need batteries, which is of course very green. I'm not sure why this is presented here, what it has to do with human nature.
Well, I think sexuality is a very human, very core part of humanity.
Yes, of course, but this, you could as well have this in a, you know, one of these online shops. You know, this would fit very well there, I think. Yeah, but it's really funny what people present here.
Yeah, yeah. Is this kind of thing typical, do you feel like, since you've been here?
I think the diversity is typical, you know, having, like, on the next shelf.
So yeah, let's go look at this one.
We see some plants, and it says soil clock. So it has some cables with a very small clock, and the cables go into the plant or in the pot of the plant, and the plant is producing the energy for it. So these two things sort of go together. And I think having funny things, how to deal with technology, how to use it in a different way than you're used to, this is typical for Ars Electronica.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Following his conversation with Sonia, Saruz went in search of some other great little stories to bring you from Linz there, and he went along with a few other reporters to check out this demo of how to turn your urine into fertilizer. Here we go.
So we're turning people's pee into fertilizer that they can use on their houseplants.
This sounds extraordinarily difficult.
Not too bad,
really?
Actually. Yeah, it's a little bit of chemistry. And it's a little dirty. It's a little stinky, actually.
What's your name?
My name's Britta Riley, and this is my partner, Rebecca Bray.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. We're just going ahead with these guys doing this last part of their experiment.
Cool.
So first, put on some gloves. And what we're going to be doing is adding magnesium chloride. And magnesium chloride is an ocean-derived natural chemical. And what it will do is it'll actually bond with the nitrogen and the phosphorus in your urine, and as well as any pharmaceuticals that you've excreted, and it'll make that into the solid fertilizer. And it's a really kind of, you know, strong reaction. You're going to see it fizzes and it gets really hot and it happens
and it
really quickly.
Really bad.
Yeah, it smells really. But that means it's really working because it's off-gassing lots of stuff.
So you might want to get this with the microphone because it is.
There you go. And so take off the top of your urine.
So I'm going to add a little bit and then you stir it. Oh, you're going to do that one. Okay, you do that one. And so it was really, really cold. Remember, it was sitting in ice, and now it's going to start getting actually very hot.
And so you can see the foam is forming, and the foam is where a lot of the fertilizer is actually going to be. And that's the foam that once it dries, it turns into a nice fertilizer powder.
And the fertilizer itself is actually called struvite, and it's one of the oldest fertilizers known to man.
And it's very, very concentrated. So when you get it home, you're going to want to take that powder and dilute it in at least 4 liters of water and only put a little bit on your plants. So now feel the jar.
It smells really bad now, right?
Yeah. So I've just put these filters here. And so just let them sit for just a couple more seconds. And actually, if you hold it up, you can see some of the struvite actually forming. If you look closely, you can see these little bits of solids. And that's the fertilizer that's forming in there. And a lot of it is going to be in a little ring along the top. And so what you want to do is pour it slowly into this filter. And actually, somebody came up with a really good technique last time to actually hold this up against the lip of the jar, because then the stream will kind of go down into the filter. You know what I'm saying? Like this.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm not doing it very well.
People are already innovating.
Yeah.
So how did you guys come up with this?
We both are scuba divers. And we have a company where we do consulting for science museums. And we are working on an ocean conservation project and really looking at a lot of the problems with human waste and how they create pollution in the waterways. And so when we were looking at this, we were just saying, God, you know, this is such a huge problem and it seems so enormous and like it would be hard to do anything about it. But then, of course, we can do something with our own waste. We have access to it, you know, as opposed to many other environmental problems where you don't have access to the actual source of pollution. And so we started researching ways that you can actually treat urine and use the natural fertilizer in it.
And there's something nice about the fact that this is coming from our bodies as well. I mean, we tend to forget that we're actually part of nature and that in nature, we would be peeing out in the woods and it would be becoming fertilizer again. But because we pee into a toilet and we think that it's waste and that it goes away somewhere, but it actually is going out into our waterways and creating hazardous conditions basically for all of the aquatic ecosystems that are there. And that's not where our pee should be going, really. So basically what we did was we took a process that environmental sewage researchers have been proposing to do on a massive scale, and we scaled it down to something that an individual could do. Because there's a problem with implementing it on the large scale, because then you would have to create new toilets and new lines from every toilet to new sewage treatment plant. So in order to solve one environmental problem, you're basically creating more environmental problems. And that's often what happens when we rely on the large organizations to kind of take care of the problem for us, is that they always have to put in a lot of new infrastructure. So what we're trying to do is really just get the public engaged and really convince people that they have an opportunity to participate in the process of innovation around environmental issues, and that they can actually contribute a lot of valuable knowledge from like the end user side, and that there's no reason why all of us couldn't be coming up with new ways of doing things that would actually be better for the environment and just sharing that information. So we actually took some of the lab manuals that these environmental sewage researchers had, some of the journal articles that they had published, and then we just worked with people in our social network. So my sister-in-law's twin sister, who's a biochemistry student, and then she asked some questions of her professor, and then Rebecca's family, they're a bunch of farmers, so we asked them about the fertilizer end of things, and so we just pieced together all of this knowledge and figured out how to do this sewage treatment process by experimenting using tools that we had in my kitchen and just basically testing our own pee until we got to the point where it actually worked.
How long have you been doing this for?
We started this project
a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. February of 2008. Yeah.
Do the people you live with think that this is totally weird?
Yes. Definitely.
Well, especially because we ask them to pee all the time for us.
Right.
And we get mad at them when they don't contribute their pee to our experiments.
Yeah, my boyfriend got really tired of our refrigerator being full of pee.
So here, I mean, you're having these people, and I presume I saw other people earlier today, like, pee in these jars, and then they bring them back to you?
Yeah. They pee in the jars, they bring them back, we have them smell the pee, and we have them do it like a wine tasting, you know, where you have to kind of find the right word to describe that specific smell. And then we add the urease, and they come back, and it's changed. The smell is changed, the color is changed, and the pH is changed. And so then we know that they're ready for the second stage of the reaction. And so
that's what we're doing here.
Yes. And all along the way, we just find that people ask us, you know, they're really engaged, and they actually get really excited about it because it's about their own bodies. So they ask really good questions, and you can tell, you can just see people's, like, wheels turning.
So what are you doing right now, Rebecca?
So right now, I am, this pee has been turned into a combination of fertilizer and a more benign liquid. So we've just filtered out the fertilizer, and it's right now it's kind of foamy, and when you dry it out, it's actually going to be a kind of powder. And so I've just taken the filter, and I've put it into this little vial so this gentleman can take it home and feed it to his plants. We also have a little tiny instruction card that tells you that you need to dilute it in at least 4 liters of water because it's really potent. Yeah.
It's like Miracle Grow, but it's made from your own body.
Yes, very nice tagline.
All
But what's it actually contributing to the soil?
There's a lot of magnesium in this, which you don't necessarily always find in all fertilizers. But the main parts that are coming from your body are nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And those all, when they make it out into the waterways, those cause an overgrowth of algae. So like harmful algae blooms is something that the scientists tell us a lot is damaging the oceans. And so instead of feeding algae out in the ocean and leaching all of that oxygen out of the water, instead we're having that go to the roots of a plant. And the plants use it for their photosynthetic process.
So how often, like, you put in what, a pinch in your plant, like with water, or like how often do you put it in?
Yeah. You take this whole little vial here and you are going to dump it into 4 liters of water. And that's actually a lot of fertilizer water. So you actually need to use it on a lot of plants.
Or use it over time.
Yeah.
But that'll last you, like, you put in how much on a plant on like a small plant like this, like a rose bush or something.
Yeah,
how often?
Maybe half a liter. Yeah.
Per week?
No, actually once every maybe 2 to 3 months.
Oh, so very, very infrequent.
Yeah, you don't necessarily need to be like re-fertilizing your soil all the time.
So who has the best pee?
So far it was this guy in the last round who, it was his first pee of the day, and your first pee of the day has the most nutrients in it, and we couldn't get it to go through the filter because this stuff, it just kept clogging up the filters because it was so powerful. It was like viscous.
So is that good?
Yeah, that's good. He made a lot of fertilizer.
So people should do this early in the morning, is what you're saying?
Yes, theoretically, except for we prefer it if you just did it in the afternoon. Thank you. Go do one pee first. We don't need that much fertilizer.
That's great.
Thank you. Welcome.
Okay, so again, that's Cyrus Farivar, who sent us all that great stuff from the Ars Electronica 2009 Festival in Linz. Thank you very much, Cyrus, and thank you to Sonia Bettel as well for agreeing to be on the podcast.